This is Expat Hoops. I am Tony Budney alongside Andy Hoverman. Today we have Division II women's college basketball standout, Fallon Stevens.
Our guest on this episode of Expat Hoops is just getting started on her professional journey overseas. Before we get into where she's headed, very shortly, what her hopes are for the upcoming season, let us introduce you to Fallon Stevens. Fallon is coming off the heels of a terrific playing career at Adelphi, a Division II school in Garden City, New York. The Adelphi Panthers play in Northeast 10 Conference and were the regular season champions her freshman and senior years. Fallon, as a senior, averaged 10.9 points per game, 2.6 rebounds per game, and 1.9 assists per game. She shot 81% from the free throw line and hit 37% from three. Her 214 career three-pointers are the second most of any player all-time at Adelphi. She's tied for the second most in a single season from three. Top four all-time in free throw percentage. In addition to her playing career, she was part of a program noted for academic achievements as well. She recently graduated with a degree in economics and marketing. I could list off all the times she made the conference in the commissioner's academic honor roll, but I'd get really tired. So without further ado, thank you, Fallon, for joining us. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you guys so much.
Well, thank you so much for being on the pod. Way we've started off this so far in the COVID era, we want to talk about what we've called the elephant in the room, COVID-19. Adelphi, this last season, you won just about every game, a 27-3 record on the season, top 10 team nationally at parts during the season, number one seed in the East. We're about 24 hours away from hosting the first rounds of the NCAA tournament in your region. And then what happened?
It was devastating. And then we had a very short practice right before the game. After practice, coaches called us into the locker room and told us that we were done. We all kind of, we expected it, but we didn't accept it, if that makes sense.
I mean, absolutely.
Totally understandable.
You know, it only happens, if you're fortunate, I guess, once a lifetime. So obviously, hopefully we don't have this happen again and we have some sort of cure or better measures to take with it. But I mean, were you sort of even thinking, maybe there's a possibility to play, or you just kind of just knew it was coming, just hanging over, and that was going to be that?
Oh, of course, we all had hope. My dad was actually on his way from Ohio. We all kind of thought that they were going to have a list where you could put your parents and one or two other people, so it would just be a shortened crowd. I believed that up until our coach texted us to meet in the locker room. So there was a lot of hope, and I think that's kind of what made it harder.
Yeah, and so one of the things that I know that you'd said previously that, once everything got shut down, that it sounds like there was some sort of ceremony, like senior night. What was that like in the era of COVID?
Yeah, they had a ceremony for us, just celebrating everything that we had achieved that year. And it was amazing. The athletic department at Adelphi is very, very, very close. And they know all of our names. All of them come to all of our games. So they were, of course, all there. And it was, in a way, like a senior night, but for the whole team, just celebrating everything that had happened and, of course, wishing that more could.
So your college career did come to an abrupt start. Did you have any thoughts about playing overseas at all until your season stopped? Was that something that was in the cards from you for some time, or was that something that came by suddenly?
Yeah, it was always in the back of my mind. I've always wanted to travel, and just the other cultures just intrigued me. So it was definitely always in the back of my mind, but I really don't think it was until they canceled our season that I really was like, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm not ready to give it up quite yet.
Well, and if you could take us back a little bit, we were talking before the pod about this. So obviously that's probably the decision point where you said, all right, this is going to be something I'm going to look into. But what were the conversations like, leading up to that point? I mean, was there somebody on the team in particular that, kind of told you, hey, this is something that could be a reality for you?
Yeah, of course. So Leonie Edringer, she's from Germany originally. And she transferred to our team my sophomore year, and I was lucky enough to play with her. She knows all about the professional world and kind of what it entails and So she brought the idea upon me and, you know, told me that, you know, if it's something you want to do, you can definitely do it, as well as our head coach, Missy Traversi. She played many years overseas and even tried out for the WNBA. She is just a basketball head, if I do say so myself. And she also gave me the idea that, you know, it's possible. And if you want to do it, then you definitely can. And so they kind of got my mind spinning, you know, what do I do? And so here I am.
As far as the process for going overseas, your agent, take us through that process. What were the conversations you had initially about doing that?
Right, yes. So my agent, he graduated from my high school. He's from Ohio. He lives just 20 minutes away from my town, my house right now. And he's great. It's nice to kind of have somebody that you know wants the best for you and who you're friends with outside of the you know, business aspect of being an agent. And so he was great and knows many contacts overseas. And he keeps me updated on all of the places he's talked to, the countries, the teams. And he really has held my hand through this whole process. And really, if it wasn't for him, I'm not sure it would be quite so easy and quite possible.
Now, I read an article not that long ago that also kind of detailed a little bit of how you got in contact with him. We've had a past guest that basically was being, you know, courted by agents and everything like that. But for you, it sounds like there was a more personal connection to your agent. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, with him graduating from my high school, he has always, like, known about me. I'm really close friends with his younger son, and it just kind of all worked out because I see all of these players who are trying to play overseas go to, you know, the Eurobasket camps and all of these camps looking for an agent, and I can't imagine how hard that is right now, especially with COVID, where these agents have to watch you from YouTube and from the streaming system of the games, and I'm just so fortunate to have, in a way, like, walked into something that has helped me out so much.
Yeah, that is a really good point, actually, and Absolutely. Something I didn't really think too much about, that COVID changing the process for recruiting agents and actually getting into the game itself. I know Tony Skinnan mentioned the Eurobasket camp that he did go to. And, of course, in the leagues that he was recruited to, there were limitations in the number of Americans on either team, so I can't imagine what that's going to do for people right now. This is Expat Hoops. We just wanted to take a moment here to thank the By George Podcasting Network for hosting us. The music you're listening to is from Antonio Vicuña Hernandez. You can find him on Twitter, Electric_Llama, and on YouTube, Electric Llama, and on SoundCloud, Electric Llama Official. Special thank you to Adelphi University in Garden City, New York, for the pictures of Fallon used on our social media. Now back to the interview. We are Expat Hoops. Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram.
You know, obviously your teammate was a big person to go to discuss going overseas, but you also mentioned some of the support staff at Adelphi in addition to your head coach. Missy Traversi, your head coach, was somebody that has been very supportive of you, like you said. How has she helped guide you in this process in terms of preparing you for going overseas?
She's been great. She's very supportive of whatever it is that I chose, whether that is to go get a job in the business field or go play overseas. Either way, she was just there saying, I'll help you and, you know, do the best that I can to help you succeed in either path. Obviously she had more contacts in the basketball path, but, although she didn't recruit me, she, like you said, kind of grew up together. We learned, college basketball together because she was previously at a Division III. So we learned, you know, Division II college basketball, had some differences, had you know, grew each season. We got better and finally started to, you know, figure some things out. And that was a lot of fun to kind of see a coach that's there for the same amount of years for you and all the changes that we went through.
Absolutely. And I know that's one of the things that, like, when I was getting into the research before you came on, is it was really interesting to just kind of see over your 4 years, and obviously it's her 4 years as well, like, just the trajectory of the program. Like, obviously, your freshman year was another great year, but I know we talked off the pod a little bit about, you know, what it was like as a freshman coming in, and maybe not playing as much as obviously is now when you're a senior. But it was interesting to see, like, how the program progressed year after year. And I mean, obviously this last season was just, I mean, you barely lost a game.
Yeah. I would say coming in my freshman year, I wasn't expecting quite the amazingly gifted talent that we had in the seniors, juniors, and even sophomore on the team. And it was amazing to watch them. And I've learned a lot from them on leadership qualities and basketball as well. But it was kind of fun to be able to, you know, I saw what they can do as leaders and where they can take the program. And I was only hoping to be able to do that as a senior. And luckily, I mean, we worked, and like you said, we barely lost the game.
Yeah, 27-3. Just, I mean, I know I said it in the intro, but it bears repeating. 27-3. Top 10 team in Division II for a good, you know, certain portions during the season, and, you know, number one seed for what it's worth, unfortunately, due to COVID-19. But, you know, unfortunately, even though the tournament didn't take place, that's still a significant achievement and one to be very proud of. So, so obviously, COVID-19 happened, decided to go overseas. You mentioned your agent has been really good in terms of keeping you informed, but what was the process for you in terms of trying to figure out where to go overseas? Like, how did your agent take you through that? Like, you know, weighing certain offers?
Yeah, it was kind of tricky because I'm not familiar at all with it. And it was nice that he could kind of dumb it down for me in a way and just explain that to me. So, like I said, he would keep me updated, honestly, weekly, if not more than that. And he would just discuss, like, oh, I'm talking to this country. He would always weigh, like, it's great competition, but maybe not as good of a deal, or it's not as great competition, but it's a good deal. It was always back and forth. And it's really also interesting to me to kind of understand that different countries pay and offer different things, no matter the league and the how good they are, basically. So it's still all, in a way, confusing to me, because they could be an extremely good team, but then offer their players less. It just really depends on where they're at. So he was good at kind of understanding that and describing that to me.
So, Icelandic professional basketball, you are headed to Hamar. In a country that you have said that you have yet to be to. Tell us what's going through your mind in terms of you're going to a country you've never been. I'm sure you've been learning things about the culture, the people. You've been talking to some people that were on your team potentially. What's going through your mind as you get set to head over there in a very short period of time?
Oh, I'm so excited just to learn about a new culture and travel, most importantly. It's an island, but it's an island of fire and ice, so there's a lot to see, a lot of different things, and I'm really excited to just dive into that and really be able to. It's not even a vacation, really, you know, it's a couple months here, so just dive into that culture is what I'm really excited for, and learn new things about different types of people.
Now, Hamar is a newly merged team. It formerly represented two smaller towns. Last year was a tough year for them. You're joining a team that's going to be on the up and up. What sort of preparations have you been doing, if anything, professionally leading up to it? Have you gotten any material from your coaches or anything like that?
I've been in contact with my coach just over Facebook Messenger. I really haven't gotten any materials, but luckily in Ohio, the gyms have been opened, as well as weight rooms, like basketball courts, all gyms have been open for quite a while now. And so I have been lucky enough to be able to continue to work out and just prepare my best because, like I said, I really am not sure what to expect. But
actually, one of the things I was thinking about this, we kind of talked a little bit offline about what your transition was like going from high school basketball to Division II. How would you say that experience has at least given you some level of preparation for what to expect this time around?
Oh, yeah. The transition from high school to college, there was a big difference there, obviously. So I am expecting a very similar transition, but also even more different because I'm not only going, you know, a 9-hour drive away from home, I'm going a 9-hour flight away from home. So there'll be more obstacles than I think I encountered going to college, but I'm sure, you know, tackle those just like in college.
Yeah, you're basically aware that there's going to be some sort of challenge and, you know, that you're stronger for having met it the first time, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So other than your coach, who you said you've had a little bit of contact with, have you been in contact with anybody else to give you an idea of what to expect, you know, in terms of specifically where you're going in Iceland, playing professionally, things like that?
Yeah, so there's actually a girl that she signed with my same agent that I'm signed with. And she is signed to a team in Iceland, only about 30 minutes away from my town. And she's played professional basketball the past 2 years, so this will be her third year. And so she has some great insight on what professional basketball is like. And she also seems like quite similar to me, as in we're ready to just go experience whatever that may be that Iceland brings us. And I'm really excited and lucky that I do have somebody that, you know, is from the United States and going through this, a similar experience that I've been able to talk to throughout these past couple weeks, really.
Once again, we wanted to just take a moment here to thank the By George Podcasting Network for hosting us. Antonio Vicuña Hernandez, Electric Llama. You can find him on social media, SoundCloud, Twitter, YouTube, at his name. Special thank you to Adelphi University in Garden City, New York for the pictures of Fallon used on our social media. We are Expat Hoops, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram.
Vicuña.
In terms of your preparation here, I know COVID has affected your ability to go to gyms and things like that. What has the league emphasized in terms of what they're going to do to try to protect you from COVID being in Iceland? I know COVID isn't that big of a deal in Iceland, but there are cases there and it does exist.
Right. Yeah. So like you said, COVID isn't huge over there, but I really think that they've taken it extremely serious. I know a couple weeks ago they had an outbreak. 80 people had COVID and none of them were hospitalized. And that was in the whole entire country. So after that, I know sports had shut down for a while. And, you know, the whole 2 meters, I don't believe that we can be in the gym at the same time. No locker room, showers, changing. You kind of have to come prepared. And they have just started to be able to practice with contact just, I would say, maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, and I've actually been following former two-time World's Strongest Man, Thor Bjornsson, who's actually been doing and competing in some things in Iceland, and he was talking about the new outbreak that was going on there and how everyone was trying to take it seriously there. They are an island like New Zealand, and not to get too much into the weeds, but obviously it's easier for them to prevent that sort of thing from happening, but it does happen, travel restrictions being what they are. Also, I'm curious, are you going to have any sort of quarantine period when you go there?
Yes. So once I arrive, I have to take a COVID test and then I will go quarantine for 5 days and then take another test. And as long as those are both negative, obviously, I'll be good to go. I'm quite lucky that it's not the 14-day quarantine period.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, and I also know for a fact, since you were talking about this off the pod, you've also been doing some preparation by watching what exactly?
Preparation for going to Iceland?
Zac Efron's new series that he came out with on Netflix. And that's taught me some things, believe it or not.
Yeah. I mean, for instance, what has it taught you?
So what I've learned is that all of their energy is geothermal energy that they power the whole entire island with. And also, they are able to cook rye bread and hard-boiled eggs in the geothermal waters that is just underground in the island.
We could honestly do a separate podcast on just this alone, but we'll spare any listeners, and especially Tony.
No, I would join in gladly. I'm the only person that's currently on the pod that's visited the country. I feel like I have some things that I could say in that regard too, but hey.
So one of the things that we've tried to highlight on here is, you know, what obviously day-to-day life has been a part of that. And we've, you know, what you're learning, you know, in preparation of going over there. But what are the sorts of perks that you're going to get for going overseas?
Yeah, I mean, the number one thing, I've always just been so intrigued with different cultures. So that, but besides that, in my town, there's a geothermal river bath that you can hike up this, I'm assuming, mountain. And at the top, there's little areas to change, and you can just go bathe and swim in a geothermal natural hot spring, which I think is really interesting. And then also another thing that I believe I learned is that all of the water there is so fresh and clear and clean that you don't need to bring, you know, plastic water bottles. When you run out of water in your reusable water, you can just stick it in a stream and fill it up, and it's exactly what comes out of the tap water there. So there's no need to filter, which I think is also kind of a perk, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's obviously the perks of having, you know, being over there and everything, but what are some of the perks of that the team has set you up with in terms of expense paid apartment, things like that? So what are you getting as you go over there to begin your pro career so you can focus entirely on basketball?
Yeah, so they are paying for my furnished apartment, Wi-Fi, heating, all of that, as well as they feed me a meal a day. I'm not quite sure how that works yet, but hopefully I'll be able to explain that to you guys pretty soon, as well as $1,000 a month. And I have the opportunity to coach a little girls team in the area for an extra $500 a month, which I'm really excited about. And I think that's going to be an experience within itself.
Well, that's great. In a way, you're going to get an opportunity to be an ambassador for the sport in the country as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. And I've worked with, throughout college, obviously, we work with little girls' camps and even in high school. And it's always been something that I love to, you know, see how, you know, these little girls kind of think that we're cool. And it's like, I was once in that situation where I thought these girls were cool. It's weird that now I'm the one that people are like, oh, hey, you're cool.
Absolutely. So actually, it's an interesting question. Obviously, you know, you're talking about you've been at camps and everything as somebody that's been running drills and everything. But have you actually coached before, like between practices, games, things like that?
I have not ever coached my own team. No.
Interesting.
No. Yeah. So it will be interesting.
I've done it once before. I'm sure you'll do much better than I. But even then, the main thing to take away from that is make sure that they have fun. And
exactly.
Obviously, we know that you know that. So
I'm just hoping they know great English.
So you alluded to it before. You wanted to hit up the geothermal hot spring. You seem genuinely interested in Iceland. Outside of that, is there anything else particularly that you're interested in seeing while you're in Iceland?
Oh, I have a whole list. But to keep it short, there's a place called the Black Sand Beach that looks beautiful. And then Diamond Beach, which is where pieces of ice from glaciers break off and roll up on the beach. And so it looks like diamonds are setting on the beach. So those two are definitely on like the top of my list, and they're not too far from my town. But I also, if time allows, I would love to drive the ring road and spend time a couple days a week doing that.
Yes, and I know COVID being what it is, there are going to be other travel restrictions. There are going to be some things that, even though you're not in contiguous Europe, you would be close enough to take some trips over to the other parts of Europe that would be accessible to you. being dependent on that, is there anything that you hope to do outside of Iceland, even in your limited time?
Yeah, of course. I have a friend actually who is attending a university and playing basketball in the UK, as well as I have mentioned Leonie Edringer. She's playing professionally in Luxembourg. So those are two places that I definitely want to be sure to hit before I leave Europe.
Is there anything out there as far as going through the process? You've done this for a very short period of time. We're going to get to have an opportunity to see where you go in a professional career that is in its infancy. What is some advice that you think that you would be able to give to someone who is looking to do this, to come out of your division, Division Two, and to look at opportunities overseas? What are some of the things that you would give them as their the biggest pointers that you could have?
Yeah, I would say the biggest pointers that I would have would just go for it and don't worry about the money. Don't worry about where you're placed, because as long as you're, you know, there because you love basketball and there because you want to travel and are up for an adventure, I really don't think that you'll have a bad time. As far as it seems for me, all the coach is very welcoming. The players, I'm sure, will be extremely welcoming. So I really just say, just do it and see what you get for it. And if you hate it, then, you know, you don't have to do it the next year.
Thank you for being on the pod today. We look forward and hopefully we can have you back on the show someday to update us on your progress and see how things are going in Iceland as your first year in Eurobasket goes forward.
Of course. Thank you, guys. And I would love to stay in contact and give you updates on all of the adventure that waits.
We're absolutely looking forward to that. Thank you so much for coming on, and trust us, you've got fans obviously outside of the state of Ohio and outside the state in New York. Obviously we're wishing you very, very well. We know you'll be great, and we look forward to talking to you again.
Vicuña. That was Fallon Stevens. A very warm thank you to her, and good luck on her journey to Iceland. Once again, thank you to the By George Podcasting Network for hosting us. Thank you to Adelphi University for the photos. Antonio Vicuña Hernandez for the music. We are Expat Hoops. Feel free to follow us on Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram. Expat Hoops, EXPAT Hoops. Hope you enjoyed it. See you next time.